Well, it's a delight to be here when you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll talk about the nature of grace. The nature of grace. When I don't have a clock or a watch. Is there one on a wall somewhere? That's not good. It's not good to tell me that. Start reading together in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by that one man's sin. But now watch what he says here about what we have in Christ. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace, one sin, one man, one brought death. But much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that righteousness reigns in life by the Lord Jesus Christ, by one man and his righteousness, his obedience. Therefore, as by the offense or that one sin of one man, that one sin of judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, the righteousness of one, the free gift, not earned, not deserved, came upon all men under justification of life. Now, I'm going to comment on that, the all that came under condemnation, the all that received the free gift of justification, is the same people. All those who was condemned, they were the very ones that was justified. Because only God justifies only His elect. So it's obvious that the same all is the same people. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. See how he's used the same language again. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The same many. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, and again, that much more grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned, there's two sovereigns in the Scripture. Sin and Christ. Sin reigns, righteousness reigns, Christ reigns. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. Rule by our Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness unto eternal life. But you notice that word grace. Grace did much more abound. I love the word grace. I just love the word. I just enjoy saying the word. Delight in saying the word. And if I had another daughter, I'd name her Grace. I would. I'd name her Grace. And what a, not only a wonderful word, but a beautiful word, if you know what it means. What a comprehensive word the word grace is. And we have such a great contrast here. We have, in these verses, we have sin abounding. Sin absolutely abounding. Just abounding. But we have grace much more abounding. You think sin abounds. Grace much, much, much more abounds where sin abounded. Sin reigned unto death, but grace reigns unto eternal life by our Lord Jesus Christ. And where sin abounded, grace completely overflows it. No matter how much sin is present, the grace that comes from God is immeasurable. It's like putting out a match with a whole bucket of water. That's what it's like. Grace is so abounding. And you look through the Scriptures at how grace abounded in men and women's lives. You take Mary Magdalene. Here's a woman who had seven devils. You realize how mean, how corruptible, how despicable, how corrupt this woman was? I've seen some rough women in my time, some rough men, but this woman had seven devils. Sin abounded in her life so abundantly, so greatly. And our Lord Jesus Christ, grace overflowed in her that you find her sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming in and washing His feet with her tears and drying them with the hairs of her head. Grace did much more abound. Zacchaeus, a thief, tax collector. Sin abounded in his life. But grace, when our Lord called him down out of that tree, grace did much more abound and said, today, salvation must come unto your house. And you late Saul of Tarsus, he despised and hated our Lord Jesus Christ in His name, persecuted the Lord Jesus' people, took children like you, parents, husbands, wives, children, had them put in jail, had them persecuted. And how much did grace abound over that man's life? Put him down in the dust. And that man is the very one who penned these words, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Became the greatest preacher other than our Lord Jesus Christ of anybody that lived on this earth. And then there's Simon Peter. You're talking about sin abounding. He bragged and boasted, said, Lord, I'll go with you. If I have to die with you, I'll go to jail with you, whatever's necessary. And our Lord looked him right square in the eye and said, before this night's over, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crow. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin is horrible, but wherever it is, grace superabounds over it, overflows over it. Now let's talk about the nature of grace. Grace is this. It's God acting freely. God acting freely. God acting according to His own nature. God acting according to His nature of love. The Scripture says God is love. God is love. And don't say God is a God of love. People say that all the time whenever you preach the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the wrath of God, and the holiness of God. They'll say, well, my God's a God of love. God Himself is love. It's His nature. And He must, in nature, must act according to its nature. Love can, if there is love present anywhere, it must be acted out. It must be. We aren't free, you and I aren't free to love who we will. We don't have that ability. You know who we love? Our own families, our own children, our own wives and our own husbands. Now, we love one another, but not like we love our wives and children. And that's why it's not natural for us and not free to us to love whom we will. But God is free to love whom He will. And if God loves anyone at all and manifests that love, it's all of grace. God chose to love that person. God freely loves that person. It's all of grace. And grace is God loving His people as individuals. As individuals, every single one of them individuals, without any promises from them, without any obligations from them, without them having to do anything or fulfill anything. And not only that, but He loves and gives His people and loves them based on the righteousness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that was given us in Him before the world ever began. And I'll tell you something else about the nature of grace. Not only is grace God acting freely, but grace is uncaused in the recipient. Grace is uncaused in the recipient. If it's cause, grace's cause is wholly, solely in the one who gives it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself or God Almighty. Look in Ephesians 1 with me a minute, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Grace is uncaused in the recipient. You know, years and years ago, I used to wear long hair and a beard and done all those things and did it for several years. And everybody always tell me, said, the Lord, you know, if you need to cut your hair and need to shave your beard, start going to church, you know, and maybe God will save you. And of course you think that's right when you're lost and you're a natural man. But I have nothing to do with God giving you grace. Oh, look what he said here in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. Listen to this now. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now listen, this is the cause of God's grace. According to his good pleasure. Why does God do what he did for you? According to his good pleasure. And what was the motive behind it? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Grace if it's given, it's solely in the cause of the giver. And if you ever look for a cause of grace in yourself, you'll never find it. You won't find it. Just quit looking. You'll never find it. And that's what makes grace so amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was blind, but now I see. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Once was blind, but now I see. You see, that's what makes grace so amazing. It's free. That's what I love the word free grace better than a new sovereign grace. Because free means that you absolutely don't do anything for it. You don't do anything to pay it back. You don't do anything. You don't owe anything. You absolutely do not do anything. I mean, grace is God just constantly doing for you what you cannot and will not do for yourself. Huh? It's free. It comes to God without anybody asking for it. And where it comes, it absolutely overflows. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. If anybody ever tells you repentance and faith is conditions for God to save you, they're telling you a lie. Grace gives you repentance. Grace gives you faith. Wherefore, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. What is it? The gift of God. Not of works. Why is it not of works? Because if man had anything to do with it, you know what he'd do? He'd boast about it. You find a fellow boasting about what he's done for the Lord or why God done something for him. You found somebody don't know anything about the grace of God. I'm telling you. And I know I'm telling the truth right there. I'll tell you something else about the nature of grace. Grace is sovereign. It acts freely, freely loved, and grace is sovereign. God has no debts to pay to any member of the human race. You hear people say that all the time. I've never, you know, Mother's Day, we just went through Mother's Day. Every mother I know and ever heard tell of got to go to heaven. You know, they might have been mean as hell itself, might have beat their children black and blue, might have been a drunk, but when they die, they become the best mother that ever was, and they get to go to heaven. And grannies, too. Grannies and mamas always go to heaven. Because they was good, and so God owed them a debt, and he has to take them. If you won't go see your granny, you better get right with God, because you know you better do this, that, and the other if you won't go see granny. But we're not going to glory to see granny. We're not going to go to glory to see our mother. We're not going to go to glory to see our wives. We're not going to glory to see our children. We're going to glory to see the Lord Jesus Christ, to behold his face. And to see the joy and the glory that's manifested in him and him alone. That's why we want to go. And so God has no debts to pay. He's not going to. Only debt he owes anybody is the wages of sin. And you know what that is? That's death. And he'll pay everybody off just exactly what they got coming to them. And there's no conditions on man's part for God to wait on. Grace doesn't wait for us to become worthy to do some act. Grace acts toward whom it will, how it will, where it will, and that's whether you're in a church house or whether you're on the Damascus Road or whether you're sitting on a well and getting water out of a well, or whether you're sitting in a church house, wherever you're at, grace can come and get you right where you are. And I like it like that. That's why we're not on a fool's errand. I tell you, when we're preaching the gospel, preaching the grace of God, God's going to save His people. Oh, listen. It takes the worst deservers and puts them in the highest places. Oh, my. And I tell you something about grace being sovereign. It can save a multitude or save one at a time. You look at how our Lord Jesus Christ, how many times did He save one person? He saved the woman, went to the woman at the well. One person. One person. And then Zacchaeus, that's the only man, as far as we know, the Lord did anything for that day. One person. And then He turned around and on the day of Pentecost, they saved 3,000 people at one time. But even in saving that 3,000 people, every single one of those 3,000 people were saved individually. God spoke to every single one of them individually, and every one of them was saved individually. They heard the gospel for themselves. They were the only ones in the presence of God at that time, even though there was 3,000 converted at one time. That's an amazing thing. That's how grace is. That's how grace is. And that's what He does. And I tell you, there's something else about free grace. Grace cannot act where there's any ability. If there's any ability, grace ain't going to work. It can't do it. No. Grace doesn't help us. We don't need a shove in the right direction. We don't need help pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. Grace, if there's any ability, grace can't act. It won't act. Grace is absolute. Grace does everything or it does nothing. Grace, salvation's from grace from start to finish. From the day God saved me until the day I take my last breath on this earth and step into glory. Everything that's ever done for me has been by the grace of God. Everything I have, everything I know, everything I possess, everything there is by the grace of God. And since there's no cause in us why God should show grace to us, we need to just stop looking for a cause, because there you'll never find one. Just never won't find one. God don't get... You know, if there's a cause for God to do anything for us, the cause is found in Him. Never in us. No ability in us. You know, people say, well, God gives me grace because. There's never a because. There's never a because. If there's ever a cause, then it ceases to be grace. You know what it is to fall from grace? You've heard people about falling from grace. You know all it takes to fall from grace is to do anything to try to get God to do something for you. Or add anything to Christ or take anything away from Christ. And that's falling from grace. That's all you have to do. You don't have to go get drunk. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to do something mean. All you got to do is add something to Christ. Add some work that you've done, some prayer you've done, some sincerity you have, and you fall from grace just that quick. That's falling from grace. That's all it takes. Just add something to Christ. Take something away. Add some part of yourself into that equation. And it ceases to be grace. Just that snap of a finger. I love it. And I tell you, if you all ever done this, I hope you haven't. I hope you haven't. But if you ever thought, boy, I really, really need to pray, but I wait till I need to get in a better condition. Need to get in a better frame of mind. You know what that is? That's works. That's self-righteousness. That's all that is. Huh? That's all it is. You're never good enough. You'll never find yourself good enough. You'll never find yourself in the... And will our Lord hear us? Well, of course He will. Will He ever turn us away? No. Will He ever say, don't come? No. Will He ever say, boy, you're a miserable creature? No. I just read to you that with before Him we're holy and without blame before Him in love. And you know what holiness is? Holiness is the state of being. God is holy. And you can't be, God cannot be more holy at one time than He can another. And if we're in Christ, we cannot be more holy at one time than we are another. Holiness is a state of being, either you are or you ain't. And righteousness is a state of being, either you are or you ain't. Is that not right, Clay? And oh, let me tell you something else about grace, nature of grace. Grace produces humility. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us some things. And when God makes us to understand, and He's the only one that can do it, and He does it in grace, when God produces in us, He produces this humility. When God Himself makes us to understand that we're the objects of His sovereign free grace, it humbles us like nothing has ever, nothing else could. And it keeps working in us, producing us and putting us down all the time, making us to understand that if grace and God don't do it for us, it ain't going to be done. He keeps working in us and teaching us and making us to understand that we have nothing to contribute to this business of salvation. And why would we produce such humility? Because we're brought. Grace brings us, and God in His sovereign grace brings us, in His free grace, brings us to see our absolute unworthiness. Absolutely unworthy. Who am I? Abraham said, "Who am I, Lord, to speak unto Thee, dust and ashes?" Simon Peter said, "Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man," because he thought he was going to tell the Lord something about fishing. Then he, after he caught all those fish, said, "Lord, I'm such a sinful man that I would question You and doubt You and wonder about what You'd do. Just depart from me. Just leave me in my misery." Oh, listen. Were we worth our Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world? We were worth our Lord Jesus Christ being despised, being rejected, being smitten upon, spit upon? Were we worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ and the horrible treatment that was given to Him? Beard plucked out, beaten, to the blood run out of His back and His bones showed? Were we worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sin in His own body on the tree? Were we worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ's blood being shed and poured out on that tree and even running down onto the ground? Were we worthy of that? Were we worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ, His Father, forsaking Him, turning His back upon Him? When our Lord cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Were we worthy of that? David said, "Oh Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of Thy tender mercies." Were we worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ praying until His sweat became as great drops of blood? And I tell you, beloved, this grace produces this humility. We're brought to know our complete inability to ever become worthy. Ever become worthy. We find in ourselves, beloved, ourselves blessed on another principle outside ourselves, and it's grace, free grace. I want to show you this and I'll close. Look over in Isaiah chapter 5 with me just a minute. Isaiah chapter 5. Show you this. And I tell you something, beloved, grace, flesh has no place in God's free grace. Flesh has no part. What did our flesh contribute to our salvation? What does our flesh do to help our salvation at all? But look here in in Isaiah 5:12. Look what it says here. Isaiah 5:12. Listen. No, excuse me, I'm sorry. Let me go back over here. Isaiah 5:11. Look what it says. Woe unto them that rise early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue unto the night till flame and the wine in flames. Look down verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquities with cords of stretch. Look down verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness. 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. 22. Woe unto them that are drink wine and men's strength to mingle strong drink. Now look over here in Isaiah 6 just a minute. Here this fellow, he's got five times he says, woe, woe, woe to somebody else. Now Isaiah says what he said. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I'm going to tell you something right here. If you ever see the Lord, if you ever see the Lord, you know how you're going to see Him? High and lifted up. And you know what else you're going to see? You're going to see His glory. You're going to see Him high and lifted up. And then look what He says. And then you'll hear down verse 3, you'll hear, God is holy. He's holy, thrice holy. And the earth, and you'll see this about Him, the whole earth is full of His glory. And when He saw that, look what He said about this. He said, woe to everybody else. When He saw the Lord, you know what He said? Verse 5, woe is me. You ever find a preacher preaching woe to everybody else but himself? But oh, when you ever see the Lord, and you see His glory, you see His power, and you see that this world and everything in it belongs to Him, and all the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, high and lifted up. You fall on your face before Him. And you say, woe is me. I'm undone. And then He says not only that, but everybody that I know, my children, my wife, my grandchildren, people I work with, everybody I know is just like me. They're unclean. Just like me. I dwell among a bunch of people like that. And then, though, but listen, here's grace. And then one of them seraphims having a live coal, living coal in his hand. He come and he took it off the tongs of the altar where that sacrifice had been offered. And he laid it upon my mouth. Put a new song in my mouth. And he laid it up on my mouth and said, Lord, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Oh, my. Grace, free grace, sovereign grace, grace unsought, grace undeserved, and it produces humility, and the flesh contributes nothing to it. Flesh has no place in the grace of God. None whatsoever. Our most blessed, our most holy, our most righteous and glorious God in heaven, blessed be your holy, blessed name, who is like unto you in all the earth. Lord, we are so blessed to have your gospel, so blessed to be taught the grace of God by you, so blessed and separated from the rest of the human race, set apart by your blessed grace, washed in the blood, cleansed by our Lord Jesus Christ, sanctified and made holy. Father, thank you for this wondrous privilege to speak, to talk of your grace, talk of your glory, talk of your power and your majesty. And Lord, as we think of our brethren preaching this morning, God help them, God strengthen them, God give them liberty. Oh Lord Jesus, give them great utterance as they labor there at Lantana Grace and other places, as my brethren do. And Lord, strengthen and encourage this body of believers. And bless the rest of our time together. as we ask in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.